The denial of Jesus Christ by the Apostle Peter is once again our topic today on Chapter and Verse. So let's start with this from Mike McIntosh.
Remember, it was Peter who drew the sword. It was Peter who said, "Lord, if that's you, bid me to come." Walked out on the water. It was Peter that declared, "Though all men deny you, Lord," see his heart, "I'll never deny you." Oh, is that right? Well, let's put a little pressure on you and see if you'll deny me. He didn't. Let's don't cast them away, or let's don't cast away our sons or our daughters, or our moms or our dads, or our bosses or our employees, or our friends or our enemies. Let's give God a chance to show that He's God, and that because we assume or we presume or we think, why is it that we're always trying to prove that what we think is ultimately the right way to think? See, we could just write off old Pete here. Secondly, I like to look at it this way. At least he tried.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
You've joined us for the Tuesday edition of Chapter and Verse, where we're continuing a fascinating study on the Gospel of John. As we look at this account of Peter denying Jesus to save his neck, let's also remember that he holds a distinction none of us could ever hold. He wrote two books of the Bible, and he was crucified on a cross. He also met the love of God through his weakness, and he accomplished his purpose in life. The 18th chapter of John is our text, and Mike McIntosh is our instructor as we begin our teaching on Chapter and Verse. Now let's listen to part 3 of our message, Peter and the Rooster.
And I'm standing there, and the coach was he was a triple type A to my double plus type A, and he was just a go for it, in your face, yelling, screaming, you know, just going for it. He was a Bobby Knight kind of a coach for 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds. And I mean, this guy was red in the face, and I was thinking, we're taking it a little too seriously, I think, here. But I'll look after my son. If he gets in his face, I'll just say gently to him, please don't treat my kid that way. His son came up to bat, 6, 7 years old, and he couldn't even hold the bat well. You know, he couldn't swing well. And he had 2 strikes against him. And the dad, in front of all the audience and all the other boys and the girls, says, if you miss this ball and don't hit it, and he's shouting this, you're not going on vacation this summer. Oh, ooh, I pulled out my sword. I looked for his ear. I was ready to go. It was none of my business, you know. And I thought, that poor boy. Hopefully that boy and his dad are doing well today. They'd all be much older, of course. And we learn from our mistakes. But you stop and you think of him carrying this cross. It will may be that before the trumpet sounds, you're going to deny me. Well, let's think of this on our way out. Reckless abandon. When was the last time that you allowed reckless abandon to be in your experience with God? And not have the coals, even on a cold night, or warm yourself with the world, or get closer to the world, and to the closer you get, the more you deny Jesus Christ as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Reckless abandon. Hey, let's try this. Let's just do it. I've always been amazed trying to understand life and to always learn how things happen. And I remember when Sandy and I first got married, and we were walking down a street one time by the beach, and I said, you know, a couple years ago, and I'm an adult, I lived in a dream world, or I might have been 12 or 13, I realized there's cracks in the sidewalk. My world, I wanted our world to be like Disneyland. People sweeping up after the horses, you know, everything pure and clean, the white colors, and everybody's just prim and proper, and it's fun. And she said, no, life doesn't have pure sidewalks. And when I see a crack in the sidewalk, I realize, okay, somebody's hurting somewhere, and that's my ministry, is to help those that are hurting. There's cracks in everybody's sidewalks. There is no golden streets in our community, I'm sorry. There are a lot of potholes in some neighborhoods. But if you have a lot of gold, your neighborhood doesn't have the potholes. You know, you can stop and you think, oh, this life, it's just so horrible. I'm just checking out, and I'm going to get to know the guys that sell the coal. I'm going to invest in the coal. I'm going to invest in the match company. I'm going to invest in and stay close to soldiers and the people in power. And I'm just the Jesus thing. I don't know about that. Giving up. Can't give up. Do you know in baseball that out of 10 times at bat, you get the honor and the privilege of missing 7 times? And if you hit out of 10 times at the bat, just 3 times, you're called a star. And you get paid a lot of money. And you have gold choker chains and big watches and mansions and cars. 3 times, you get to fail 7. But if you just hit that little piece of rawhide 3 times, you're a star. And if by chance, just the slightest chance in all the world, you could hit that ball 3 times plus a skosh, 3.1, 3.2, you're a superstar. And you get more accolades from the world. But they talk about those 3 hits out of 10 more than they do the 7 misses out of the 10. You see, Peter, in his flesh, struck out. But in God's love, he hit a home run. Because he learned from his mistake. He had reckless abandon. He was willing to do anything for the Lord. You know, it's really safe. We all know that, to be mediocre. There's no pressure if you're mediocre. I love what Michelangelo said. And maybe the reckless abandon of you willing to fall on your face and to try things has been gone for so long. But Michelangelo, the world's most renowned artist, said, "Lord, grant that I may always desire more than I can accomplish." Have you ever read about the Sistine Chapel? Have you ever been in the Sistine Chapel in Rome and seen his handiwork? I mean, to lay on his back for hundreds and hundreds of hours and to see the brown goes right here. Oh, boy, the bursitis. The blue goes, oh, the back. Ooh, the neck. Oh, I'm so tired. And he kept going and going and going. "Lord, grant that I may always desire more than I can accomplish." Because mediocrity is everywhere. Everybody is finding safety in mediocrity. It's easy to keep people from hating or disliking you. Just keep away from them. Just withdraw. Just get out of the office. Drive to the gas station, get your Coke, get your car filled, and get into the garage, turn on your big screen, retreat your own world, don't interact with people, don't give yourself an opportunity to express yourself, and you'll be on nobody's radar screen. Now, Peter had some lessons to learn, but I like what Abraham Lincoln said. With regard to the ham and eggs, the chicken is involved, but the pig is committed. I think it's wonderful to know that we can make a commitment. It's painless for us to blend in. Turn to the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes, if you would please, right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes. And I'd like you to go to the 11th chapter. The 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes. And I'd like to just have you look at 2 verses here that Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, said. Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter. And we'll look at the 4th verse. "He who observes the wind will not sow." Oh, what a blustery day it is. "And he who regards the clouds will not reap." And then if you just drop down to verse 6. "In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper. Either this or that, or rather both alike will be good." Here's the paraphrase of what Solomon said that maybe could release many of you today. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Be sure to stay busy and plant a variety of crops, for you never know which will grow. Perhaps they all will. You just sit back and say, "Oh, I don't want people talking about me. Oh, I can't stand failure. Oh, what if I don't make it?" And you just withdraw. You've never experienced life. Are you going to miss 7 times at bat? Yeah. All of us in this room will probably miss 9 times at bat, and sometimes 10 times at bat. Do you know the first person to ever give their heart to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in the city of San Diego on the very first Sunday morning that I drove down from Orange County to preach at? Was an all-star from San Diego Padres. First person in the whole city on a Sunday morning. And he was going through a divorce. And he was having some really deep problems, I was told. And here we were, 40 people in the Ocean Beach Women's Club. And I'd never done a Sunday morning sermon message before. And there was a coffee table. And the coffee table was the podium. And my notes were down there below my knees. And I was trying to read them. And I was scared to death. And when I gave an invitation, if somebody wanted to give God a chance in their life to forgive them of their sins and their failures and to give them a second life, would you just raise your hand? And it was this all-star, very well-known San Diego Padre. Boy, he wasn't known to strike out at the bat, but he struck out in his marriage. He struck out as a daddy. He struck out in his business. He was down. He was out for the count. He had chopped off Malchus's ear. He was the whisper of the locker room. He was the backbiting of the clubs at the golf course. He was the talk around town. But in heaven, he was loved. Hey, would you like to have a second chance? Remember, it was Peter who drew the sword. It was Peter who said, "Lord, if that's you, bid me to come." Walked out on the water. It was Peter that declared, "Though all men deny you, Lord," see his heart, "I'll never deny you." Oh, is that right? Well, let's put a little pressure on you and see if you'll deny me. He didn't. Let's don't cast him away, or let's don't cast away our sons or our daughters, or our moms or our dads, or our bosses or our employees, or our friends or our enemies. Let's give God a chance to show that he's God, and that because we assume or we presume or we think, why is it that we're always trying to prove that what we think is ultimately the right way to think? See, we could just write off old Pete here. Secondly, I like to look at it this way. At least he tried. At least he tried. He got out there. Someone once said a great many more men would go to church if there was a law against it. He tried. He was a trier. I remember in the 70s, I spent 5 weeks in a row in Eastern Europe, and the communist secret police were everywhere trying to get us, and we'd go in and we'd go out, and you know, people would sit for 3 or 4 hours with their Bible open and just beg, "No, teach more, teach more, teach more." And then one by one, the living room, the barn, the upstairs would start to empty, and they'd go out in the darkness of night. I remember in one country that we had to walk past a communist youth camp at midnight through fields and past farmhouses, and you couldn't turn on a light or a flashlight. And you would go by these soldiers, and you'd be from here to the door, 40 feet from them, and you'd just say, "Okay, Lord, make us invisible." And we'd go by. And then you'd go back the next day, and you'd walk through the fields, and you'd go up the hill, and you'd go to the farmhouse, and people would be crying and saying they drove 6 hours because they heard somebody had come from America with a Bible. I understood that when I read that more men would go to church if it were declared against the law. You know, if all the people who actually sleep in church were placed end to end, they'd be much more comfortable. But where does that get you? Get you nowhere at all. And finally, when Peter failed, and when Peter was broken, and Peter was humiliated, it gave Jesus a chance to shine. And I love it that we could try to deny him. Was Peter an atheist? No. He just was a frightened human being. An atheist is a man who has no invisible means of support. Peter had a lot of support. An atheist cannot find God for the same reason a thief cannot find a policeman. He doesn't want to because he's in the wrong area. Peter wanted to find God. And you want to find God, you wouldn't be here. God already knows where you are, and he wants to shine through you. Don't give up. Sir Winston Churchill said to the British people, "Never, never, never give up." And had they not had a leader that said something like that and believed it, Great Britain would not be Great Britain today. Never give up. You have one life. And life is not perfect. And you're not going to hit all the balls. And definitely you're not going to hit them all out of the park. You're going to make problems. You're going to make waves. In Proverbs, it tells us, where there is no ox, the stable is very clean. But where there is an ox out plowing in the field, that stable is pretty messy. Your life is your life. It has its ups and downs, its ins and outs, and you can stand at the doorway or you can go all the way in. But I thought this was very interesting. 22 times Peter is mentioned in Matthew, 13 times in the Gospel of Mark, 10 times in the Gospel of Luke, and 14 times in the Gospel of John. Here, at the end of his life, you would think it's all over for him. But you open up the book of Acts, and there's no more dynamic leader than Peter and the rooster. 22 times it tells us of his courage and his boldness to stand and say, should we listen to God or should we listen to you men? No, stand now for righteousness, he would say. He was so bold. I think it shows us God's truth in 2 Corinthians 12:9. God said to St. Paul, who was suffering, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So Paul said, because Jesus said that to me, most gladly then I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, Peter holds a distinction that none of us hold. He wrote 2 books of the Bible. And this is after he denied Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you've ever read 1st or 2nd Peter. They're pretty profound and pretty deep. And they're pretty far reaching because it shows that he wasn't destroyed even by his own failure. God didn't blank him out. God didn't nuke him. God didn't erase him from the earth. He loved him and gave him more strength. And when it came time for all these apostles, Peter included, to be murdered by the Roman government, they took James and tied his ankles with a rope behind a chariot, a Roman chariot, in front of all the people on their Super Bowl Sunday that they didn't even want him to be in the arena, and they drug him through the cobblestone streets until his skull was actually opened and his brains came out. When they took John, the apostle who wrote the Revelation, that wrote this, they put him in a boiling vat of oil to silence these men of the Lord. Are you one of his disciples? Peter said, yes, I am. Well, we're going to crucify you on a cross, just like we did Jesus Christ. And Peter said, I do not deserve the honor. You must hang me upside down. And you know how they hung Peter upside down? The peace symbol. They broke the arms of the cross, and they nailed Peter to it and spun him upside down. And the peace symbol is a symbol of witchcraft and sorcery. There's no peace behind that symbol at all. That was a sign of death to the Christians. Now, Peter denied him as a young, worldly man. But he ultimately meant the love of God through his weakness, like you and I do. And he accomplished the purpose of his life. And I'd like you to read it with me in the very last chapter of John, the 21st. Because you can see the love of God will help you. Look what he said in verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus is resurrected from the dead. He said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than everyone else? Oh, he said, yes, Lord, you of all people know that I love you. And then he said, feed my lambs. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then he said to him, tend my sheep. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself, you dressed yourself in the morning, you walked wherever you wanted to go, you're a big guy, you weren't afraid of anybody, you did anything you wanted to do, you had extra cash in a pocket. And then when you're old, you're going to stretch out your hands because you're going to lose your sight. And other people will actually help you. And others will dress you. And others will carry you, even to places you don't wish to go, son. This he spoke, signifying what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he simply said, follow me. You see, the way Jesus looks at it, when he denied him, you were younger and you didn't know what you're saying. You know, Peter, when you said, walk out in the water, I was so proud of you. And when you sank, I knew you'd sink, but at least you're willing to try it again. Do you love me? The word is agape. Sacrificial, divine love me? Peter said, yes. You know that I phileo you. He used a different word for love. You know I love you. Human love. Peter, in that case, work in the Sunday school, feed my lambs. Peter, do you really agape me? You'll lay your life down for me? Lord, you know that I phileo you. I have brotherly, worldly love for you. Oh. Well, pastor, tend the sheep. Peter, a third time here, I just want to ask you, do you phileo me? You know I phileo you. God came down to Peter's level and met him where he was. Strong plan words. I'll meet you where you are, and together, if you'll follow me, all the way in, and just don't stand at the door. Even when you're old and you lose your sight and your mind starts to go and you can't change your own clothes and you can't drive anymore and people have to take you and you don't want to go there, I'll still be with you. Let's give Peter a second chance. And when the rooster crows, it's not, oh, did you ever hear about, it's, bless the Lord, how God loves us even in our failures, in our weaknesses. Shall we stand and shall we pray? We're really grateful, Lord, that a man like Peter could consume so much of the New Testament. And just from the three denials, we look and we see his spiritual growth. When we go through the book of Acts, we see a man that is bold and strong, a man that has visions and sees angels, a man that confronts the very kings of the world, a man that isn't afraid of the threats that are coming to the church, a man that accomplished exactly what you said when we read 1 and 2 Peter. He fed the lambs, he tended the sheep, and he followed you. So, Father, for all those that feel today as if they have missed every pitch, let them know they can get back up and swing again. And, Lord, we don't need to be superstars, nor do we need to be stars. We just need to follow you. So Father, tomorrow, can we follow you up to the plate? And would you help us with our grip? And would you get our stance down? And would you let your love just bless us to love other people? We thank you that you don't give up on Peter. And we thank you, though the world may put monuments up to men's failures, you always put love up as a standard. And that you are always willing to stand with us. We thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We pray that you heal all the ears that we have chopped off, that you would clear up all the confusion if we're really yours or we're not yours, that we'll realize, well, this is not the time to be getting warmed up. It's the time to stand up for righteousness. Help us to learn of your great love. And thank you for Peter being willing to be used by you so we could see your great love in a wounded warrior. May we all be blessed this week with you holding our hand and walking with us through life. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Mike McIntosh on Chapter and Verse Radio, where Peter and the Rooster has been our subject. Although Peter failed, we see an example of a man that always tried. Let's remember that he had the faith to step out of the boat and walk on water. Later, we'll see Jesus at his resurrection tell Mary to tell the disciples and Peter that he had risen. Yes, we like Peter will all fail, but the Lord still loves us and wants us to return to fellowship with him. If you'd like access to additional teachings by Mike McIntosh, let me direct you to the audio archive section on the web at mikemcintosh.com. On this helpful page, you'll find access to audio teachings on a variety of helpful topics concerning renewing your relationship with God. Again, the address on the web is mikemcintosh.com. Look for further spiritual instruction and information on this site. Now, before we end our time together, if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, please write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, to give your financial support, drop us a line, Chapter and Verse, Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also give online securely at mikemcintosh.com. Make plans to join us next time when we'll continue our study through the Gospel of John with Mike McIntosh. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.